today's episode is sponsored by our premium Patreon subscribers, Madonna Hines with a Sexy J, Chrissy Dougherty, and Mia Hansen Aloha. Thanks.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender, and joining me is the hilarious and wonderful and truly eviscerating Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and Rose Prick Special Podcast, and also Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks. What is up?
Wowie, Ben.
Wowie, dowie, wowie. How's it going?
Good. What's going on? Happy Monday, mother truck.
Happy Monday to you, too. I put on our Instagram live situation here, so people who are on Instagram are watching one half of this podcast, basically just me talking to silence. That's just my way of reminding people that we have a new Instagram channel, and we are channel account. We are already up to close to 2,500 followers in 1 week. So thank you everyone for liking us and following us, because it means a lot.
We're going on ye old Insta.
Ye old Insta.
You know, it's really interesting because you are so much better at social media stuff in general than me. And I don't really follow anybody or anything. So seeing who you're following on our Instagram is hilarious, because I'm seeing so many more Housewives posts that I never would see.
Well, I don't normally follow many Real Housewives, but I was like, well, I'm starting up the Watch What Crappens Instagram feed. I might as well do something that's on brand. So I followed a few random housewives, some ladies of London, some of our followers, some of my friends. Because yeah, why not?
Well, yeah, there are a couple people I'm like, who that?
Yeah, it's probably a friend of mine. You can follow some of your friends too.
There's some guy bent over a bar in gym shorts, and he's like, yeah, gym shorts at the bar. I'm like, what?
I don't know exactly who that is.
That ain't a housewife.
Is there really someone like that?
Yeah, he's not being porny. He's just leaning up against a bar. I guess I described it in a pornier way than it was.
Are you sure it wasn't Tom Sandoval?
Yeah, his butt was too big.
By the way, we have to say a big hello to people from Reddit. Elizabeth tweeted at us. Apparently, a lot of people on Reddit thought that Watch What Crappens was just a colloquial reference to Watch What Happens, because so many people think that Watch What Happens is such a bad show that they think that it's by saying Watch What Crappens, it's just a slang derogatory way of referring to Watch What Happens. But actually, it's a reference to this podcast. So someone posted on Reddit today, I just realized that Watch What Crappens is an actual podcast. So apparently people are going to start tuning in.
That's funny. Wouldn't it be great if it worked the other way around?
Yeah.
Be like, oh my god, we have so many listeners.
Oh my god, Christina from Summerhouse just said hello to us, and she says that she may not be the favorite after tonight's episode. Wow, that's a little scoop from our Instagram feed. We have a real life Bravo star on our Instagram feed, and she's saying hi to us right now. So exciting.
The twins are the star anyway. The twins are the favorite anyway, so back off, Christina. Okay.
Carl.
All right, let's get into the show, Ben.
Let's get into it. What do you want to start with?
About Instagram more than my niece.
Do you want to start with Christina just went Carl. Do you want to talk about Top Chef or Atlanta first?
It's up to you, my little treat.
Well, oh, little treat. Wow, I just got all warm and fuzzy on the inside. Let's do Top Chef. I'm just feeling Top Chef these days. Although Atlanta was hilarious this week, but let's roll with Top Chef, especially because last night I went to Brooke's Restaurant down in Playa del Rey.
Oh, how fun for you.
How fun for me.
Great. Remember when you planned to do that with me? So how was it?
You know what? It was very good, but it wasn't as good as I remembered it. I don't think it's as strong as it used to be honest.
Much like Brooke herself.
I know.
Look at that.
I was like, what a non-coincidence. No, it was still very good. I got her the red curry biscuit, because we know that Brooke is the biscuit queen. So I, of course, got the red curry biscuit, because that was actually the very first thing I ever got there a few years ago, and it was so delicious, and it's back on the menu. So that was really good. I got an octopus dish. The octopus was honestly not cooked terribly well. It was very chewy. I felt very much like Padma, being like, did you mean to make the octopus this chewy?
Did you intend to put big league chewing gum in my mouth that tastes like fish?
Did you mean to give me a piece of tire instead of octopus? So that was a little disappointing, but there was some sort of, it was like a couscous, but it wasn't, it was called something else beneath it that was delicious. And I got some really delicious clams. So it was still very good. But there was, and there were some, they have some tater tots that they're famous for, but I thought they were actually a little too sweet. So some hits and some misses, I still would go back.
Well, that's a far way to go for some misses. I mean, if you get in Playa del Rey, you better serve some good octopus, mother truck.
I know. Well, the thing was, I had some friends in from out of town, and they needed to eat close to LAX before their flight. So considering it was that or Wendy's, I chose the triple.
Yeah, I've never forgiven Wendy's for changing it up like 5 years ago. Remember they were like, we're going to get new branding because regular Wendy's isn't good enough anymore. Now we're Wendy's. And they got like new logos, and then they got they started toasting their buns.
Ooh.
Which I still don't appreciate. Mm-hmm. I mean, the best thing is the soft bread from Wendy's
back
in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed their French fries, so now they're really super crispy, and they have tons of sea salt. And sea salt is not necessary on a French fry at Wendy's.
Thank you.
Okay, you're Wendy's.
Yeah. Yeah, at least it's not pink Himalayan sea salt. I mean, and you know,
that'll
by the way,
next.
Speaking of rebranding, before we get into Top Chef, can we talk about the Bravo rebranding? We talked about it a little bit on Friday. We announced that it was going to be happening. Obviously, by Friday, it had already been rolled out. But now that it's been rolled out, do you have any thoughts about this new rebrand? Because I have some thoughts.
I get it. You know, someone wants a logo change. I get it. You know, you want a font change every once in a while. It's not like Bravo can lose weight. You know,
right.
We all need changes in our life. I get it. But I mean, I think it looks cheaper just having floating pictures go by. It's like, look, a wonky eye. Look, mm-hmm. It's a housewife. And it's like, it's very PBS to me.
It's funny that you say that. I don't mind the oversized images that float by, but to me, it actually reminds me of the Style Network. I feel like Bravo just took a step towards E and the Style Network with their rebranding, and to me, that actually cheapens it a little bit. I know they're trying to go slicker, and they've told the Bravo guy to not be as excited, so he's very much like, he's like, tonight on The Real Housewives, Lisa Rinna has to own it. I'm like, give us like that. He's that, you know, he has that spunk sound, you know, and they're making him speak like quietly. And
yeah, I'm glad they let him keep his job, though. That queen.
Me too.
Because, you know, at least they kept him. But yeah, he is. They're like, OK, you're just very, very tired now.
Yeah.
And then the font, like, we're going to just do a Helvetica, or Helvetica, however you say it. But we're going to taper the B diagonally. I'm like, whoa,
yes.
Bravo. Sure changed it up.
I think I actually looked up the font. I think it's Penelope, which I never heard of. It's probably Bravo's proprietary font now. But I feel like he wants to die now. The poor announcer guy. They're not letting him do anything, any sort of inflection. I think it's because otherwise, if there's too much inflection, imposters won't be seen as a more legitimate series or something. So everything is just like, tonight on Real Housewives of Atlanta, it's Shady Sunday. I'm like, you gotta have more excitement than that.
Yeah. I wonder if that guy, that voiceover guy in his real life, if his friends are like, I wonder what's wrong with him. Do you think he's okay? He's just
sadness
sad now. He's
Bravo.
Always tired.
Yeah.
It's like my job was sounding tired today at work, guys. It's just hard not to bring my work home sometimes.
So Jezebel actually had a piece about it. That's one of our listeners posted on our Facebook page. Sorry, I don't remember who it was.
I think it was Cookie.
Was it Cookie? Of course. He's our little newsman. He and Cindy C. and the Case, they could start like an Action 9 news about Bravo TV, and they'd give us all the headlines.
Story at 5.
Michael Cook in a chopper overhead looking down at Andy Cohen, because they give us all our gossip. So, either way, the Jezebel article, did you read it? It basically was saying that Bravo is one of the reasons why it revamped its brand was because they want to bring in more male viewers. And then Jezebel was smart to say, I guess they're assuming straight male viewers, because obviously we gays flock in droves. But I guess they're trying to bring in
more viewers. I mean, you're not changing your TV shows. You're still showing The Real Housewives. Like, how is that? Is that any different?
Exactly. And I actually feel like it looks more feminine, oddly enough. The color is maybe a little bit more mask because there's more black going on. But again, to me, it really read like Style Network. It feels more... To me, I get vibes of Style Network, Cosmo magazine now. It feels sort of like bigger and glossier. So I actually feel like it's more feminine.
I don't really know. I mean, when the background is still like Lisa Vanderpump hugging a swan or whatever, I'm like, it's still gay.
I mean, still gay.
You can't. Enough straight people are forced into watching Bravo by their wives, and we hear from them all the time.
But I guess
so. I think they're doing a good job of entrapping straight people. I don't think you should be like.
It doesn't
scream to me like, Bravo, you're a heterosexual. Watch this channel. It's just, okay, it's a logo.
I get nervous because the last time that I remember a channel deciding that they wanted more male viewers, it was Food Network. And they were like, well, we have women down, so let's get some more men in. Let's get Guy Fieri on there. Let's add some more competition shows. And now Food Network is just Cupcake Wars, Biscuit Wars, tic-tac wars, everything is just...
add war to things and men will come. Maybe this will be like that. It could be like Housewives Wars.
Housewives Wars. Yeah, I just think
it's... bitches killing each other in the street.
Yeah. By the way, one of our... Ashes Mendoza on Instagram wants to know what the long orange thing is behind me. I just want to say it's my vacuum cleaner. I understand with a rebrand, there's always going to be some pushback, but I don't know. I miss the old look.
I just feel like if they're going to put that much money into something, it should be getting the people of First Family of Hip Hop like a nicer carpet. You know what I mean? Like, there are certain things they could do. Those people have a welcome mat in their inner hallway. Like, get them some carpet. Like, spend your money on good things. Like, you're paying for Penelope. You just paid for somebody to taper Penelope. Like, how about the First Family of Hip Hop?
How about someone buy First Family of Hip Hop, like, another character that would be more interesting. Although I have only seen one episode.
Morgan's water turned on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, get her hot water heater turned on or whatever.
Or how about, fund a better vacation for, like, who is it that has had a really shitty vacation? Potomac. Send them farther than Rehoboth Beach.
They're like, ladies, I want to take a group trip to the shopping outlet malls a mile out of town.
Yeah.
How exciting.
I know. At least send them to, like, the Ozarks. Send them to San Antonio or
They're
something.
They're like, this water is delicious. Okay, Top Chef 11.
Top Chef 11.
Dun, 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 dun. Final four.
Dun, dun, dun. Final four for now until next week, I'm assuming, when it's final four again. As usual, the episode opens in the stew room right after eliminations, and John is crying. And I have to tell you, I'm really concerned about this. There's too much touchy-feely John shit. There's too much shit about, like, I'm a new man. I'm afraid that he's getting the winner's edit.
John is one of those people who is on death row and is suddenly found Christ, and they're crying all the time and acting sensitive. Like, you're still a serial killer.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's how I feel about you, John. He's like, I used to be that way. I'm like, guess what you are now? The guy who steals limes and takes all the, takes all the clams or whatever the hell it was that time. That's you.
Yolanda,
like, you're doing
is
it more calmly,
so
but
mad.
You're still a dick.
Yolanda is so mad that you just said that. I mean, granted, you're talking about two different limes. However, she's not smart enough to know the difference. Who stole my limes?
Who stole my limes? I've been giving it away to everyone in my family for free. Why steal? Steal it. Shirley, it's funny the juxtaposition, because Shirley's like, oh, the final four boost of confidence. And then you've got John like, I've just been trying to be a good person. This is my hardest challenge ever on Top Chef. It's like it was a brunch.
Yeah, it was literally brunch. All you had to do was cook octopus with eggs. Although, you know, octopus is tricky. A callback to Brooke's Restaurant.
Oh.
Little octopus shade there. Just getting it in.
Who put an octopus on a tree? Because it's high enough to give me shade. Isn't there a line like that in Real Housewives of Atlanta? One of the shows this week had a line like that. They were ooh, that tree is so tall, I'm standing under it for the shade. I think it was Married to Medicine.
It's an octopus.
Octopus shade.
Octopus shade. Octopus on a tree.
Smelly shade.
Some smelly.
I'd rather almost get a sunburn than stand in this octopus shade.
I think octopus shade would be wonderful if it was done just right, but it's just so easy to get it wrong.
It really is. I mean, those things are all over the place.
Yeah.
Try train an octopus.
What are we talking about?
Notice there's never a Pixar movie that's like How to Train Your Octopus. They're untrainable. Even dragons are more trainable.
Who would do the voice of the octopus? I can actually imagine Lisa Rinna being the octopus. Hey, baby. I've only got 8 arms. What do you want me to have? 10 arms? I can't do everything, baby.
I didn't even feel my arm move. Sorry, did I mess up the shape? I'm the worst octopus tree ever.
So John's just crying, and he's, you know, it's such an honor to be this far. I was really, you know, I have so many scars from the last time I was on Top Chef. Well, congratulations. So did all everyone else here. Everyone else carries the same scars. You think you're the only one who doesn't live with the regrets of being voted off the Top Chef?
Yes. Look at Casey. She's practically in a ball, like shuddering on the floor and sobbing and, you know, going rocking back and forth with herself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a scar. You have scars on your hand from, you know, shoving knives in too hard. You cut your hand, you know? That's why you never kill somebody with a kitchen knife.
Yeah.
So back at the house, Brooke is being exciting Brooke. I mean, well, my friend Trisha was over, and she's like, I think Brooke is on beta blockers, because Brooke is basically, like, just dead now. Like, she's just muttering. So they're back at the house, and she's like, wow, here we are. I feel like last time I hit my stride in the top 10, and this time I haven't really hit that stride, and not making it as far would just kill me. I'm like, you're already dead inside.
Yeah.
You're already dead.
She peaked when she made that thing, that crepe for Tom, that breakfast crepe. And he's like, this is the best breakfast thing I've ever had in my life. And then after that, there was like nothing left to give. And then she's just done.
Yeah.
Now peak two.
Yeah, she's very like low energy. It's worrying me for her.
Yeah.
And then they're talking about Mexico. I guess they're going to Mexico. Oh, because that's the finale, is in Mexico.
And
John's like, I can smell Mexico from here. And I'm like, you see, you're just a fucking racist. Like, you're even trying to be nicer, and you just sound like such a racist, John. Just be quiet.
To be fair, he does carry around peppers in his pockets. Fajita peppers. I don't know. It's
the taquitos in Sheldon's pockets. Like, God, I can smell Mexico. It's so weird.
It's so weird. No, John, you actually just have taco shells in your back pocket. I don't know why you've been doing that. You Shirley's noticed it. Like,
why you put tacos in your pocket? Who does that? That's crazy.
I never put taco in my pocket. I don't know why John do that. He's like, whoa, Shirley. It's really intense
crazy
right now.
Kid. I would jump out of a tree, but never did I put a taco in my pocket. That's crazy, John.
I'm a new man. I used to never put tacos in my pocket, but I don't know. I've been going to a lot of therapy and working on myself, and I realized I got to put taco shells in my pocket.
Yeah, people are nicer to you. They're like dogs. Like, if you have a treat in your pocket, they'll do whatever you want. It's like, it's so weird. Most thin people still hate me, but fat people are being much nicer to me now.
They're on the verge of going to Mexico, and I don't know about you, I was actually very I was very hopeful that in this last episode in Charleston we'd get to see JD, you know, pushing one of his restaurants. I forget what his restaurant's called. It's like the Bourbon Pig, or something like that. But
it's like regular barbecue, but in bourbon, son.
Where was what's his face? The Southern Charm gay. What's his name again?
Oh, Jay
Carter. No,
my friend Maul. Our friend Maul's had me follow a bunch of people on the Instagram or on Snapchat one time, and she put him on my Snapchat.
I forget his name. He's like the self-hating gay.
Yeah.
Self-hating like gay.
He must be accompanied by a woman for the Founders Ball.
And he's also the most misled gay, because he went up against Patricia, who, you know, she's basically the biggest gay icon on Southern Charm. So that's really a disaster on his part. Huge mistake.
His Snapchats are like, here I am at a party, walking around and oh, look, I'm spinning in a party, spinning round and round, a white tablecloth. I'm like, okay, so you're just basically an alcoholic spinning around doing nothing over and over. Like, this happens over and over.
It's like they have the most special sausage wrapped up in the tiniest little bun you ever seen in your life. It's like, this pig's in a blanket, okay? Just relax.
Well, it's nice to see that a hot dog finally found a bottom. Pig in a blanket. Okay. Now stop spinning.
I really wish I could remember his name, and while I try to think of it, I do want to
say... I want to say JD, but it's because you just said JD.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing Gay Southern Charm. That's what I'm typing in right now. This could have a very interesting result. No, let's see. No, I'm not getting anything
like
here.
Colin, people are hitting their steering wheels. I feel it right now. They're like, God damn it, you
idiots!
That's why
I feel like I have to, I absolutely have to say, I have to figure it out now. You know, in the meantime, I have to say that we've been... I followed Catherine Dennis on our Instagram.
Koopa. It's Koopa.
Koopa. I was like, Kata. Koopa. So, speaking of redheads. So, Catherine Dennis. I don't know if you've been looking at any of her photos on Instagram, but they are hilarious. I regrammed one of her standing with like a can of iced tea or something or other. Some refreshment. And she photoshopped the hell out of herself, and she did it in such a sloppy way to make herself look skinnier. So you see, like, the trees behind her are all squiggled, and they're, like, weird lines, and she's wearing, like, a bag, and, like, the strap of the bag is warped. It's, like, zigzagging a lot to the left and then to the right. And the sad thing is, I didn't even notice. It was until someone posted, like, you realize this is all photoshopped. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so blatantly photoshopped, like the sloppiest Photoshop you could ever imagine. God
bless her.
What
is her name on Instagram? I'm looking for her right now.
Thomas with five A's.
Thomas, don't go.
You just go onto our Instagram feed. I regrammed it. You'll see it. If you look in the things that we've done. But it just makes me so excited for that show to come back. However, I do have to say, I'm surprised there was no Southern Charm Top Chef crossover.
I am not, because I don't think Andy produces that show. Although they do get... they do get a reunion, which is more than I can say for a lot of shows these days on Bravo. I really wanted to see Julie Montague sobbing, but also trying to convince everybody that she's in control of things. I really needed that. So
that would have been
a lot,
a great moment. And I guess, okay, I'm really not trying to pimp out our Instagram, but now that we have Instagram, all this new stuff is opening up to us. Juliet Angus got into a fight with two of our listeners on our Instagram page. And that was a real special moment for us. We just sort of sat back and watched, but it was amazing.
Why do you and your mother keep bothering me? Like, stop. They're like, well, you blocked us, you pussy. And she's like, well, I got that on my negativity. And they're like, well, what about depression? And that's a real disease. And I know someone who died of depression. She's like, well, I do too. And then my aunt died of cancer. My uncle died of pneumonia. And then I also knew someone who got hit in a crosswalk. And also I saw faces of death. That was a lot of people dying. I also went to a dog shelter once where they put dogs down. So I get it. But like...
Oh my goodness! Yeah, that was a real special moment for us. So really, I mean, Instagram's just bringing so much joy. Catherine Dennis's photoshopped arms, Juliet Angus's fights, and it's just great happiness.
Oh, I was spelling Catherine wrong. That's why.
Do you want me to just text you the link?
No, I found her here.
Yeah. Do you see her? Do you see how photoshopped?
Like,
look at her.
Look how I'm holding a coffee. Play up high. I'm coffee posing.
I love that you're giving her shades of Blanche DuBois.
I mean, she is kind of a shade of Blanche DuBois, isn't she?
She is. We've always said she's her own personal Tennessee Williams play.
Yeah, just really poorly written.
Yeah.
Just with a lot less words. If it was acted out by monkeys, you know?
Well, the funny thing is that she has actually... So she photoshopped her left arm. So you can see the background. The gravel gets all blurred and squiggled. And then, but she also kind of messed up. She forgot to kind of Photoshop in her tricep. So she has a skinny lower arm, and then her tricep bulges out, which is actually, if it were me, I'd be so happy to have a tricep like that. But it looks very strange on her. Poor Catherine.
Is that in the blue see-through dress thing?
No, she's wearing a red dress.
Oh, I'm looking at her whole Instagram now. Yeah, oh. She's holding one up. She's like, look at my strong try. I'm like, I mean, women shouldn't do that, because that turns into anti-goodbye arm.
She later. She also did something around her waist that's like really strange, where her waist almost has like a 90-degree curve. It's just the more you look at this, the more little Easter eggs you find.
She probably is looking for Easter eggs. She's probably starving to death.
Thomas, where's that bunny?
I'm not doing drugs. I'm just looking in this book for an Easter egg. I could use some candy.
Let's be honest. Easter egg is her code word for Amazon Prime boxes.
Oh, Thomas, I got some more Easter eggs today. Look what I found hidden on my doorstep.
It wasn't hidden at all.
She's just painting. She's just painting a box with Paz, whatever they call them. Paz.
Thomas, time to decorate the Easter eggs.
Oh, my God. You can tell this is a Monday.
Yeah.
We've talked about Lisa Rinna starring as an octopus in a Pixar movie.
On a tree.
On a tree. And Catherine finding Amazon Easter eggs.
Painting boxes. And using it to somehow woo Thomas back to her.
Don't go!
Go back to Top Chef, or as the new guy on Bravo would say it, back to Top Chef.
You just hear a gunshot and he dies. Kills himself. The announcer. He's so sad. That's what I'm trying to say. Everyone, I'm just going to take a big slurp of coffee because my synapses are not firing today.
I'm not having coffee today. I'm attempting to lose weight. And so I have green tea.
Isn't caffeine supposed to make you not hungry?
Yes, but I don't like just regular coffee anymore. I have to have it with like chocolate creamer and milk and, you know.
Rum chata.
I like a donut coffee. Like I want it to taste like a liquid donut sliding down my throat.
Well, so now we'll get back to Top Chef, because now that we're getting back into something sort of culinary-minded with donut coffee.
With donuts.
So the quick fire challenge is it's a communication challenge where a partition is put up, and each of these final four chefs is going to have a quote-unquote sous chef on the other side of this partition. And the chef will have to bark orders to the other person, and they're going to make identical dishes, and they're going to be judged on how close their dishes are going to resemble each other, and also how good they taste.
Yes, this was from Top Chef Masters, and it's one of the funniest Top Chef Masters they ever had. Because one of the chicks who did it was just losing her mind on her partner. I think it was her husband.
Yeah, it was Naomi. Yes. What's her face from Portland?
Oh, she was just losing it. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
This one, I think they actually did pretty good. I was impressed. I mean, John's wife seems like she was kidnapped. Like, what is she doing there? What is she doing with him? I mean, no offense, John.
She didn't want to be there. He even said as much. He couldn't believe that the producers got her there. She just must have been really bored that day. Or maybe she just, like, she had a terrible day at work, or she had a report due, something where, like...
I mean in her life, trapped and kidnapped. Like, what is she doing with John? And then they showed this picture of when they met, and she's, like, so gorgeous. And he's not hideous or anything, and he's talented. But, man, you know that if he yells at strangers like he does, could you imagine what she goes through? I mean, she's so pretty. She must be, like, what do you call that syndrome where you're kidnapped? But then
Stockholm?
You're still like, yeah, Stockholm. She's like Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, I mean, we know that he probably doesn't yell at her anymore, because ever since they had a baby 2 years ago, it's really softened him up. And when John started talking about having a kid, I thought, okay, this means that he's either going home tonight or he's winning the whole show. Because, you know, whenever they bring out the, oh, I'm doing it for my kid, I was lost until I had a child, and I would do everything for my child, who's a vegetarian, by the way, so that's a real restraint on what I can cook for her. And that wasn't what he said, but I just, you know.
John is so proud of himself. He's so proud of himself for not hitting a baby. It's hilarious. Like, he, like, pats himself on the shoulder. It's like, I have a baby. I haven't heard it. I'm like, well, congratulations, John.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, it's just, there have just been a lot of Top Chef cliches rolling out this season between, you know, I was on heroin, and ever since I had my baby, I'm doing it for my baby, or my parents didn't approve of what I was doing. It's the only one who has not really followed a cliche is Silva, who had his restaurant burned down by an arsonist.
Yeah, he had like some real pain at least. Yeah,
or sure. Like, and a new pain.
Not really. I mean, Shirley hasn't been like, oh, I remember that time my mom yelled at me. I was so sad. I did heroin for a week.
I think that's secretly mad. Shirley thinks everyone's crazy. You know, even though everyone thinks that Shirley's crazy, she's like, what's a heroin? What a child. What's the anger management? What is it? I just cook. Cook food, be happy. Get driven to work.
Who are you the heroine of? And why is that such a bad thing?
You're
the lead in a book. So good for you. I want to be heroin.
They're like, no, the drug.
Oh, okay. She's like, why everybody food so colorful? Food should be brown. Are you a heroin? Are you a heroin too?
Like, Shirley only making brown food lately.
I just think that, like, Shirley, I mean, her food looks so amazing. And I feel like she just sort of knows what she's doing and she just does it. And she doesn't have any excuses. She doesn't have any troubled backstory. She's just like, yeah, I wanted to cook. I'm going to cook. And I cook amazingly. And I feel like she just probably looks at everyone like, what is wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
Why are you crying right now, John?
We did get her backstory today. And it was, she's like, I work at company. What was her company?
Oh, yeah. She worked in Silicon. It was actually really cute. She worked in Silicon Valley. And they showed this picture of her at what looked like a DJ booth. It looked like she was like a college DJ. I think it was, and that's where she met her husband, and he was like, you know, follow your dreams, and so she decided to start cooking, and that's basically it. There was no heroin involved.
Her husband was so cute. He
loved him.
Well, she works a lot, so I don't really see her. She works 6 days a week, but I see her in the morning when I take her to work, and then in the middle of the night when I pick her up from work, and, you know, I'm going to do this just like our marriage. I'm going to do exactly as she tells me.
Now
that's a happy story. Right?
I love that he drives her to and from work every day. I think that's so adorable.
It is.
But I can
and
also.
He does everything she says. He doesn't care that she's never home. I mean, that's like, I would be in a relationship if it was like that.
But it's probably like pretty intense when she's ready to go home. When he gets that phone call, I'm ready. I felt racist. I don't know why.
Where are you? Are you outside yet? Are you outside? Okay, where are you? Tell me your location. Okay, 5 minutes? Okay. Okay, where are you? Where are you now?
Shuber. Shirley Uber.
You know your Uber's there because you just see,
I'm almost there. I'm there in 1 minute. Okay, I hear now. Where are you?
Shirley's Uber is always 5 minutes early and in slightly the wrong place. Like, where are you? I'm where you told me to be. Where? I'm in front of light post. Oh, that's like, okay, that's fine. I'll walk to you. It's like sort of like 50 feet away. Oh, okay. Like,
oh, and so it's brown, but very tasteful.
And it's kind of the best Uber ever. And you're wondering why this Uber doesn't get more credit. And why more people don't know about this Uber.
But everybody feels mothered in the Uber. They're like, wow, that was like a hug from mom. She's like,
oh, you're welcome. You be good boy. I believe in you. Okay, bye. 4-star.
And you feel like this is the best Uber ever, but for some reason it's not going to win. Some like a shittier Uber is going to win instead of this Uber in the Uber Awards. Top Uber. Like, some Uber with a...
Thank you, big. I wanted to thank you, other Uber. You inspire me so much to be good Uber.
It's like Beyonce's Uber.
I feel like...
Beyonce's Uber starts crying.
I feel like John's Uber would be the sort of Uber where you get in and you, like, it's not great, but he gives a sob story about his kid and how he's been going through anger management, and he guilts you into giving him 5 stars.
Yeah, but the ride is so bumpy, you keep hitting your head and feeling abused, and he steals all your gum before you go. He's like the reverse Uber that gives you gum. He takes your gum. He's like, hey, you have any gum?
And you're like, hey, I know the shortcut. Can you just like make a left here onto Fountain? And then he doesn't do it. And he's like, I'm sorry, that's not my driving style. I'm like just a simpler driver. I just like to go right down La Brea. And you're like, ah.
Okay, so Shirley had her husband. Brooke had her sister. John had his wife, and Sheldon had his wife. And Sheldon was the only one who figured out that it was his wife, and he figured out right away.
That was shocking to me.
That was so cute.
That and no he's one like,
if we win $10,000, I'm going straight to Vegas. And I was like, oh, God, he spends money like a poor person, you know? and then he ended up winning this challenge, and he's like, oh, well, my wife is here, so, you know, we'll pay some bills.
Yeah.
Like, yes, that's a good wife.
Yeah, I liked when Brooke was trying to give orders to her sister, and Shirley was barking so loudly. She's like, Shirley, keep it down. She's like, wah, 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 wah.
I told you make the noodle into the shape of a rose.
She's like, please be quiet.
Just you know, I knew Brooke was going to be in trouble because I think it was Brooke, right? Maybe it was John. No, I think it was Brooke. Brooke had her sister poach an egg. I'm like, why are you making someone poach an egg? That's like the hardest egg technique there is.
She's also kind of obsessed with that lately.
She does like a poached
egg. Brooke, it's an egg. It's an egg. Like, I mean, there was a scallop girl who that got old too. But at least Jamie. It was like not an egg, you know?
Well, maybe she just has fears that Gail Simmons. She just thinks Gail Simmons is going to pop up at any moment.
Yeah.
Special twist. Here's my good friend Gail Simmons to help judge. She'll eat most of it.
If Gail Simmons were here, she would say both dishes are very similar, and she would know because she would have eaten them both and licked the plates.
I'm afraid I don't have much of an appetite today, so we brought in guest judge Gail Simmons to eat everything. Don't mind her. She always slobbers at the mouth.
We don't have kitchen cleaners this season. Instead, we'll just send Gail around after every challenge to eat the crumbs off the floor like a dog. Gail.
Gail's like, fuck you. I'm sorry. Did you say something? She's like, I eat as much as you, Padma.
I have called you. I have said I agree with Padma 3 times this season. How dare you?
Oh, just don't worry about Gail. She's just a little hangry. She gets like that after about 45 minutes.
So the Sheldon wins a sous vide machine.
Yeah.
Which is,
by the way, I would never want to win a sous vide machine on Top Chef. To me, that's like getting the monkey paw.
Yeah, it does sound boring. I mean, I wouldn't even get a new popcorn popper because I was like, do I really have the space? You have to be economical.
Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine being like, I need a vacuum to suck the air out of shit so I could boil meat. Weird.
I don't think we've ever seen a sous vide machine do good things on Top Chef. I think maybe one time earlier this season it was used. I think there, it had a decent outcome. But from year after year after year, that sous vide machine means death. Spoiler alert.
Yes. Yeah, sous videing is not good. It's basically, it comes out like airline food.
Mm-hmm.
You know how there's like slimy meat in airline food? It's like slimy meat. Sous vide. And it literally is sous vide. It's putting those little plastic things and then...
It literally is sous vide. That's going to be my next like frozen food line. It's literally sous vide.
It's literally sous vided.
Yeah. the challenge for the elimination challenge is to cook something that represents everything you've learned in Charleston and something about your past and your life and everything and what food means to you and life and love and all that stuff. It's like one of those like touchy-feely challenges, which is very abstract, which is something that Brooke gets hung up on because she says she doesn't do well with abstract challenges.
This is also something Brooke gets hung up on. Thinking in the past, okay? Brooke does not read a lot of self-help. Because Brooke has not read The Power of Now, okay? Brooke lost her season because she was so mad that she messed up chicken wings that she made chicken wings in the finale, okay? You remember?
That's right. Like, well, but she
fucked up chickens again.
No, it was because wings? I forget. There was something like that. But she also had that tall guy, CJ, and he burned something when he was her sous chef.
Yeah, it was pretty close, though. I think that I mean, at least how I remember it, which is not factual at all. I don't have a factual memory, so I admit that right up front. But I think she was making chicken wings or something, and she lost. And so she was like, I'm going to redo that and show them that I know how to do this. And yeah. I think it was some kind of fried chicken challenge. And then they sucked. You know, they were like, this is dumb. Like, why would you serve us a chicken wing in the end?
Yeah, a lot of chefs do that on this show, and I feel like they always mess up every time they try to get some sort of redemption. And by the way, that entire Brooke loss deserved an asterisk because, first of all, it was the worst Top Chef finale in the history of Top Chef. They tried to flip the format and turn it into Iron Chef. It was that awful head-to-head cooking thing with an audience, and like Ilan was at the table and being interviewed by Padma, like the sideline reporter. It was so beyond atrocious, and Brooke didn't even get to make a dessert. We knew Brooke was going to lose because there was only 1 minute left in the show, and it was just everything about it was terrible. Plus, also that was the first Last Chance Kitchen, and Kristen came back, and if I remember correctly, Kristen came back like really, really late, later than I think than they've been doing it ever since then.
She came back in top four.
She came back top four. Oh, I thought she came back like even higher than that. Maybe
no,
not.
She came back top four, and okay. Then I think they had a double elim or double.
Maybe that's what it was. But I remember even feeling then. I don't know. It just everything bothered me. Kristen was a great chef, so that you know, I had no problem with her making it to the top because she was a great chef. But I just remember thinking that Brooke got totally screwed. Sorry, everyone.
Well,
I think they might
be doing a redo on that. They might have Brooke come back and win now. You know, which would maybe be setting it right. They're
well,
like, we've got a new logo, guys. Let's make sure that we start off on the right Brooke foot.
Last Chance Kitchen. Okay. Who's going to win Last Chance Kitchen?
Lady I think it's going to be her because we, as someone pointed out on our Facebook, you can see her ponytail in one of the shots in the finale. you see a little bouncy ponytail. So I think it's her. They could be tricking us. I don't know.
Well, spoiler alert. Followers on Instagram posted on Instagram Live that it's down to Last Chance Kitchen is down to Brooke and Casey, which means that my dear Silva was eliminated. I mean, I was gonna have to face heartbreak no matter what because Brooke and Silva could not both come back, but I was hoping it would be between Brooke and Silva, not Brooke and Casey. And if Casey
I'm
comes
surprised
back,
Casey beat Silva. No offense.
I'm very surprised, but maybe Silva just lost it. You know, maybe he went back down into a shame spiral.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it was like, I'm never going to rebuild. I'm never going to rebuild.
He's just going to go to a Build-A-Bear shop and just blend in.
And start burning down bears. He's going to start building bears and then burning them down and crying. He's like, I will live through this pain until I understand it. It's like, okay, Scientology. Okay, so Brooke is saying it's hard for her to do abstract things. And she's like, but, you know, I don't really have feelings, but I guess if I did, I would be like thankful for things that helped me win in the past. So my story is about times I won. I was like, no, Brooke.
Yeah.
Don't try to remake things. This never works for you. Don't try to do it, Brooke.
Yeah. Sheldon, meanwhile, is making rice noodles out of Carolina rice. And it's like, oh no, the rice noodles, they're not setting, but we know they're gonna set. We know.
Yeah. There, did you notice the Hidden Valley Ranch everywhere? They kept doing close-ups on Hidden Valley Ranch. I was like, guest judge Katie.
Tequila Katie.
Just walking around judging like, that was gross.
Someone tweeted at me.
Thanks, Katie.
You're going to get Stassi mad. Stassi told us, for those of you who did not, we're not paying attention since to our social media. I'm really plugging our social media heavily this show, but it's always with reason because there's a story behind it all. Stassi mentioned us on her podcast last week. Thank you, Stassi, because it gave us a boost. And she was like, they are so mean and so cruel, but they're hilarious. I was like, oh my God, I got scared there. But she's like, but no more ranch jokes.
Sorry.
And then someone tweeted at me today and said, I love your podcast, but enough with the iceberg jokes. It's been 6 weeks in a row. I'm like,
get used to it. We're still doing jokes from like the first episode ever of this shit. Okay.
It's no offense. I find that I really enjoy making iceberg jokes. It's like, I feel like we've now like tapped into a whole vein of comedy pertaining to iceberg lettuce. It's just, if there's any vegetable that needs an ongoing joke on our podcast. It's iceberg lettuce.
I mean, already someone went to, wasn't it you who went to a restaurant and had an iceberg wedge?
I did.
Like someone had one of those blue cheese wedges. It's
I did
like,
have
they
a wedge.
Still have those?
I credit Katie because that's
crazy. And I saw on Twitter someone wrote, "Hey Tom, what's with the Hidden Valley Ranch on the show? What the fuck?" And he's like, "Well, we really like Hidden Valley Ranch. They do a lot for sustainable farming or something." It's like, really? Really, Tom? He's like, I stand behind it.
So they do a lot more than revealed Valley Ranch. So stupid.
Would you rather a revealed Valley Ranch? Because, you know, that could be an eyesore. Really? A lot of horse poop.
Hidden Valley Ranch only appears once every 12 years.
So let's see here. John,
you know, Frito, I'm always good for a Brigadoon scallops. Reference. What'd you say?
John Frito Crusted Scallops. Okay, so let's get to the main challenge because we're talking
forever. We are on the main challenge.
Oh. Hey, you know what? I got an idea. Let's stay on the main challenge, which is
They're prepping their food for the food that they love. And then they go home for the night and Padma is cooking dinner and
that was so weird.
I know. I mean, I love Padma. So when I saw that, I was like, ugh, I love Padma. But what I thought was funny was that not a single chef commented at any point, like, wow, that was really good. That was so good.
Wow, Padma, that frozen plain rice that you just served us out of your frozen plain rice line.
Yeah.
She's like, guys, I will be serving my own frozen organic rice. Delicious,
cut to
Padma.
It. She put
how
up
long
a display.
Was that meeting coming up with products? She's like, how about rice? Just rice.
Padma has a cookbook, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I should get it and try some recipes from it to see how they work out.
Rice.
Rice.
I was like, really? You don't have anything else in your line that you can unfreeze? They just looked at that food like, really, bitch? You're serving us frozen rice? Like, we gave you an octopus treat. But you know that Padma just has that into her contract. She's like, I will have a moment for my rice this year. And they're like, oh, God, all right.
Fine. Yeah, so she sits and they have their talk. I forget even the question. Padma's asking them questions. You know, what I forget what questions. And then she's just like, all right, it's great seeing you all. Goodbye. And you know that she was only there for 10 minutes. She's like, my contract is up. I've shilled my rice. So long.
She's just so awkward in such a huge group of people. She's like, hello, chefs. I have unfrozen rice. So how do you feel about whatever?
Gail.
You know? I'm like, oh. Yeah, what do you think about Gail's patterns? They're like, tasteful. Wrong answer. Terrible. Correct. You are correct.
Don't you guys think it's weird how Gail is the only judge who asks for seconds? Isn't that kind of rude? Don't you think that's rude of Gail sometimes?
Gail absolutely loved my plain rice. She ate 5 boxes while they were still frozen. God bless her.
I mean, to be fair, you could give her 5 boxes of cardboard. She did it. You know what I'm saying?
And she did.
Bless her heart.
She literally ate the cardboard boxes as well.
I think she has that disease where you just eat everything, like light bulbs. I don't know. That's just me talking. I saw it on Maury.
Less calories. You know, in her defense, that would be less calories than all of those rice boxes. So let's hope so. Here's to hope it's Gail.
Here's to Gail. May she rest in peace. I don't think she's even dead. I mean, I don't know.
I would tell you how many calories are in this rice, but we're going to have to wait for Gail to poop up the box.
We were going to send her to a lab to get the calorie tested, but unfortunately, Gail got into it first. So, apologies.
She makes dinner for no reason, basically. We get to the judging.
Yeah, but by the way, before the judging, because the next day they're doing more cooking. You know how it goes. It's like cooking one day, nighttime, cooking the next day, and it was during this this second cook when Brooke reveals that she is both cooking some of her pork in a pressure cooker and some of it with a sous vide machine, and I was like, Brooke, have you never watched this show? The two things that never work on Top Chef are pressure cookers and sous vide machines. Now, I don't know why pressure cookers don't work on Top Chef, because they generally always work, but like in real life, but they are like the two things that will curse you the most, and she's using both of them on her dish. I was like, Brooke, what are you doing?
Are you sure you don't want to sprinkle some frozen waffles on that, Brooke?
Maybe. Do you want to throw in a frozen scallop? How about that? Or how about this? I got an idea. Why don't you use some store-bought puff pastry?
Oh, yeah. That's another good one. Is this Pillsbury's Doughboy?
And by the way, I don't believe that the judges ever know that it's store-bought. I think the producers always tell them. But, you know, they always wear those earpieces. I bet there's always a producer saying, Padma, ask if the puff pastry is store-bought.
I forgot what I was talking about.
That's fine. Well,
I wasn't talking, that's why. Yeah. That's so awkward.
I was monologuing.
I was like, wait a minute.
So, John.
I'm sorry, I was actually throwing something in the trash can, and then I forgot where I was. And I was like, where do I live? Is this my house?
Your promotional box of Padma's rice?
It sent me to another world. Do.
So, John is, he's making a sofrito, I believe. And he goes on this whole thing about how he doesn't want to peel the peppers because then they just become sloppy and it just becomes a mess and it's not sophisticated. I'm like, oh, so now you care about sophistication, John? Okay.
Did you just say that they interviewed everybody after? Is that what you were saying? Because I was thinking that during this part. Where you can tell that they've done all these interviews way after the challenge because John always already has an excuse ready.
Yeah.
I
wasn't saying that, but I agree with what you say. He always has.
Sorry.
I was
farting in my brain there for a minute. But yeah, he's always got an excuse ready. He's like, well, the reason you do that in a sofrito is because the blah, blah, blah. It's like he's already defensive.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess he's going to be called out on not peeling a pepper. Now, that said, I don't peel a damn pepper, do you? Who peels a pepper?
Well, I think it depends on the recipe. Here's the thing. I mean, even what's her face? Aida Mollenkamp, whatever her name was on Food Network. Even she peeled the peppers when it was called for. There's certain things I don't peel a pepper for. If I were making fajitas, which I have never done, I would probably not peel those peppers. But I think if I were making something delicate, like a canapé, because it went on top of something, right? It went on top of his. I forget what it was. I probably would peel that pepper. Revisionist history.
I'm so obsessed with scallops, too. He made scallops again.
Everyone makes scallops on this show. It's like, I feel like there must be some sort of kickback to Scallop Farmers of America, the SFA. Yeah.
Too much. So his comes out, and they're doing this at the James Beard House, and the winner gets to cook a dinner James Beard House.
Yeah.
Which sounds terrifying. I would never want to do that.
I know. I'd be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to get a box of Padma's frozen rice and say, pass it off. Say, this is for you.
Padma's like, who is this James Beard and is he married? Like some huge.
Is he actually gay or is that his name?
I've always been a beard myself. We're already married.
So I like that Shirley, she's making a grouper. And again, you know, everyone's talking about, oh, I'm doing this for my kid. I'm doing this for my heroin addiction. I'm doing this for my dad who didn't ever believe in me. And Shirley just goes, I'm basically cooking for myself right now. I'm like, good for you, Shirley.
Oh, and my grandma. Okay, my grandma too. Okay. Myself and my grandma who told me, don't climb that tree. And I did. And she said, you're crazy, Shirley.
So she did an oil poached grouper with some herbal tea consomme. And Gail's like, you know what, Shirley? This is a perfect example of your ability to create connections between worlds. I was like, okay, the magician. This isn't Harry Potter, Gail.
I don't watch The Magician, so I don't totally get that reference.
It's Harry Potter. It's a magic show where the kids are like all in the occult. And stuff.
Oh, okay.
They're like, whoops, we had a satanic orgy. Anyway, did you do your homework?
I have to say that when it came for the judging, you know, they had this table of prominent chefs as usual, and they were in this big empty space. And I love how one of the judges somehow he got the wrong memo and he showed up in a tuxedo. And everyone else is dressed, you know, sort of, you know, like a sophisticated chef, you know, blazer with maybe a tie, but maybe open collar. But there's one guy in a full-on tuxedo like he's going to the Oscars.
Oh, so let's see. Tom loved her grouper. And then the fat guy, which is so rude to call him that, but I didn't know his name. But he was like, and yeah. I loved him because he was fat and I'm fat. So I'm like, oh, I love you. You're my goal weight. So that guy was like, please open a soul food Chinese place in Charleston. I was like, whoa.
JD was like, need another restaurant burning down. That's my idea. So.
Soul bourbon. Soul Chinese bourbon.
Bourbon infused egg rolls. Wah!
So Brooke's like, I'm not in love with this dish. Shocker.
Right.
So she made some slimy ass pork, like sliding out of the bag. and then she put it on braised island veggies. It's like, oh no, nothing about this sounds good.
Yes.
Not a damn thing.
Yeah, I don't even know what braised island veggies would be. What's an island veggie?
Like, it's just whatever they found at the Whole Foods.
It's like it's a broccoli playing a steel drum. It's like a cartoon broccoli. She just throws it into boiling water. No!
So this was not a very successful dish for her, but they didn't know yet that hers was going to be the worst, so they're still trying to come up with all these compliments for her. And I love by the end of the season when they can't think of anything, Gail is like, this pork is texturally stunning.
Well, also...
Really, Gail?
Yeah. I feel like it's always a bad sign when they comment on the garnish first. Like, well, the dill garnish is just perfectly dilly. Like, ooh.
Your parsley work? Whoa. Wow. Great job.
You know, I didn't really care for the meat or any of the food or any of the flavors, but the plate is just a lovely piece of porcelain.
Is this Target? I think I've seen them there before, but just delicious. I mean, wow, what a bargain. You know, bargains taste good too. Thanks, Brooke.
Is this from the Nate Berkus collection? It is? Okay, great.
One of the judges was like, so why the egg yolk? Said something about an egg yolk, and she's like, Tom loves egg yolks.
She's like, it's just a reference to when I won a challenge with an egg in it, so I thought I'd put an egg. I'm very literal. And notice that there's only one egg, because that's to remind you that I won with an egg.
She's like, well, my son gave me this little plastic dinosaur, and it's my good luck charm, so I'm hoping this is going to pull me through. And I'm like, I hope it does, because he's going to get beat. Like, he already doesn't see you ever. Like, he's like, it's my fault mommy's never here. Now it literally is. Like, your good luck charm is killing your mother's dreams.
Hey, the good luck charm still may work, because she's in Last Chance Chicken. Last Chance Kitchen. Last Chance Chicken. It's the last chance for you to be accepted in my life, chicken.
So what did Sheldon make?
He made rice noodles out of Carolina rice and okra and something else. I don't remember, but the real star were the rice noodles. And that one guy was like, well, I love my Carolina rice. That's the one thing I love. When I already making noodles out of it, I was like, oh, that texture can ruin it, but it was great.
I'll be stealing this technique, boy.
Meanwhile, he didn't talk like that at all, but...
it's more fun with him being shady.
Yeah. So then John served.
I love a pulverized noodle, boy. Now that doesn't mean you're running the company.
Oh, now Sheldon, I don't know.
You just ran your bike off the side of the road.
I was like trying to remember a reference to Southern Charm. I'm like, no, it was like three cycles of shows ago, and all my references are gone. So John comes out, and I think he made his like scallop with sofrito. And again, Pam is like, so John, did you mean for it to be so simple? Or do you just can't think on more complex levels?
Padma, you just unfroze rice for people. So Why don't you just be quiet today for the rest of the day? Keep your mouth shut, Padma.
The difference is Padma's not a top chef. She can make all the frozen stuff.
Say that again.
She can make all the frozen stuff she wants. However, I always tell the story that several years ago when I was covering a red carpet for a Bravo event and Padma was there, I was actually going to a potluck later that night and I hadn't figured out what I was going to make. So my question to Padma was, hey, I'm going to a potluck tonight. What should I make? And without even hesitation, she gave me a recipe just like that. She told me exactly what to do. And I was like, I'm pretty impressed with that.
She was like, 2 parts water, 1 part rice. Then give yourself time to freeze it.
That's more than I... give yourself time to freeze. That's more than I could come up with, Ronnie. So, you know what? No octopus on a tree shade from me. The troctopus.
The two top dishes are Shirley and Sheldon. And Brooke automatically gets that look like, oh, shit. You know, she's like, here we go. My negativity is about to do me in. Like, she just looks so miserable at this whole thing.
Yeah.
She doesn't even have, like, a resting bitch face. She just has bored bitch face.
Yeah.
She's just bored bitch all day. She's like, ugh, we have to be here. That room was so
I don't
bitch.
Think that she's bored. I think I don't – I never get bitch from Brooke, actually. I get just sad defeated a lot. Just
yeah.
Like
– okay, yeah. Sad defeated face.
Sad defeated.
Resting sad defeated face.
Resting – RSDF. Resting sad defeated face. I'm very happy right now. I just have resting sad defeated face. That's all.
Uh-huh. And also, Tom told Sheldon, he's like, look, Sheldon, being humbled is great, but you got to take place. You know, one day you're going to take place amongst America's greatest. He's like, wow. And Sheldon's like, oh, I want to go to Vegas. It's like my second win. So I was like, don't you do it.
I love that the Tom impersonation has turned into this thing where he starts every sentence going, look, shut up. Look.
That's how he talks.
I mean, look, my restaurant, we never make noodles, so it's impressive. Impressive what you did there.
And I've never heard of pulverizing rice. Like, what did rice do to you? I don't know. It was good, though.
I never even thought about doing anything interesting with rice like that before. I mean, who does things with rice? I mean, it's the most basic thing you can make. Padma's sitting there growling at him.
It's just a base, Tom.
Sheldon, did you mean to bastardize my frozen product? I mean, Gail loved it. But Sheldon, that might be because you put an egg on it. Oh, wait, that was Brooke. I mean, I can't tell. She ate the food so fast.
Did you mean to pulverize my entrepreneurship? Gail, which do you prefer? Gail's like, the boxes. The boxes were both delicious.
Bless her heart.
I mean, texturally, they were stunning, those boxes.
Bless her heart. She's behind on her rabies shots.
Gail, you're foaming at the mouth. Oh, sorry, that's just a bit of rice. Gail, you want to wipe your mouth? So John's like, well, I would never want to make excuses, but you don't peel peppers. It's like, that was an excuse. So Brooke,
I'm sorry. You say what you, cause I have to say, are we going to talk about what happened or I don't want to go ahead. I don't want to skip it. I don't want to.
Oh yeah. I'm at the end.
Okay. So I was just going to say that when they were deliberating, they're deciding between John and Brooke and they're like, well, Tom's like, well, you know, Brooke's was too dry, too sweet. She destroyed those, you know, she destroyed that meat. It's perfectly good meat. Like, he's destroying, like, yeah, it just didn't work. It was just, there's no inspiration behind it. And then they're like, but John didn't peel his peppers. I'm like, I wonder who's going to lose this one. I'm like, they tried to give it equal weight. Yeah, but didn't peel peppers. Didn't peel that pepper skin. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Brooks tasted like shit. Brooks literally was like feces, sweet, slimy feces. But John didn't peel his peppers.
Feces on a plane, okay. Feces, plane food.
Polices.
Man, yeah, he didn't peel those peppers.
Yeah. How's this gonna work out?
So poor Brooke gets kicked off, and she's asked to pack her knives and go, and she starts crying, which made me feel so sad because she had just said, "I hope that my son's lizard brings me luck."
And, and by the way, this is when she went from resting defeated sad face to active defeated sad face.
Yeah, active defeated sad sob face.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm so sad.
Don't you dare turn her into Sheena. Don't you dare turn her into Sheena.
Good.
Good.
Like, how do you feel, Brooke?
Good.
Oh, she must be devastated. Yeah, so Brooke is crying. And then Gail suddenly is like, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to do a backdoor pilot for my new daytime talk show. And she clasps Brooke's hands and goes, don't ever confuse emotion for weakness. And Brooke's like, okay, Gail. Get your eggy hands off me.
I'm emotional and you're weak. There we go. Padma's like, good one, Brooke.
Padma's like, oh, Brooke, if you want her to let go, just give her a hard-boiled egg. It's really very simple.
Toss a pork bone.
Brooke, did you mean to be so disappointing in your second run on Top Chef?
So poor Brooke is like, this is crushing because I was so close before and I've really grown a lot as a person and a chef. And I mean, it's just not to make it as far as I did last time. I'm like, yeah, but last time you were second place. You literally made it all the way to the end last time. So I get that you didn't do as well, but that would have like.
But that sucks, though. You know,
you did okay. You did okay.
But when you're number two and you lose in like the big asterisk finale of all time, and then you come back and like the pressure is so on to see it go all the way. So that does suck. It does.
She's just seemed so sad the whole season, and she's had quite a few misfires this season.
She really did.
I mean, that yogurt parfait. I always root for Brooke, and I will always root for Brooke.
Yeah.
But that was just kind of, she should have gone home for that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually 100% with you on that. I'm actually a big Brooke fan. I've been a big Brooke fan in both seasons. She did, you know, she knew she had lost her mojo. She, because in her season, she was firing on all cylinders by the time it got down to towards the final. And she was really messing up this season. Honestly, after that breakfast crepe thing, but even before the breakfast crepe thing, she was starting to have some mishaps. And then that thing happened and it was like the breakfast crepe was, for a moment I thought, oh, good, she's finally back on track. But then when the yogurt thing happened, the yogurt thing was such a disaster that I was like, something's wrong with Brooke.
Yeah. Someone help Brooke.
Brooke's
out of there. And then it ended with John like, I'm such a better person now. Like, such a better person.
If he wins this thing, he's gonna win it. I guarantee he's gonna win it. Because he's getting such a sympathetic edit, and he's getting more backstory. I mean, Sheldon's getting a lot of story too, but I think his backstory of throwing out his back on Noodles just does not have the same gravitas as John. So I think John is gonna get.
He just needs to work it better. I mean, he threw his back out and almost died because he was carrying a tray of noodles, and here he is winning a James Beard Cooking Award thing for noodles.
Oh, full circle. That crazy, Shirley.
Nice. Hey, Sheldon, nice call back with your noodles. See what I did there?
I sure did.
Let's just let it pass. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens with this finale. I hope that Brooke comes back to Mexico. If it's Casey, Casey also was getting a lot of story too, like a lot of personal development over the course of the season. So I wouldn't be surprised if Casey snuck in. I'd be furious though.
Personal development. She's like, I will not stand by and be told I was missing one single grain of salt.
Oh, it was undersalted. It was undersalted. Oh, okay. I mean, all right, fine. It's oversalted now. Okay, all right. No, it's fine. I'm not mad.
It's difficult looking like this, being so pretty, and having to go work in the kitchen where people don't take you seriously because of how drop-dead gorgeous you are. I'm like, oh, God.
I mean, I'm sorry I didn't season it right. I mean, I'm, you know, people just call me the hot one, and they just think I can't season correctly. But I think you're just throwing a guilt blanket on top of me, and I don't appreciate it.
I know I look too much like a supermodel to be a super chef, but you can be both.
Someone should put Brooke on, like Brooke and not Brooke. I mean Casey and that. What was that girl? I think she's maybe from last season. She was blonde, and she also was like the hot girl who could cook. But then they like really, she was very Gretchen Rossi like. Do you remember her?
However,
she existed, and she should be on the same season with Casey and watch them have a, you know, I may be hot, but I can cook off.
I want to be on a reality show just because just so I could do that. I'll be like, God, it's really hard being hot. Like, nobody takes me seriously. I mean, look at me. They're like, his body, and he's really going to cook?
There was
totally delusional.
VH1 actually had a they had a show like 10 years ago about models who were, I think there was like smart models versus dumb models. It was something like that. It sort of was in that same space. Yeah, well, I forget what it was called. Are you dumber than a model or something like that?
Yeah, that was actually a really good show.
And the people were hot on it. It was actually really good. There were some good castings on that.
Yeah. So, guys, that brings us to the end of Top Chef.
We have decided that we are going to do Atlanta on Thursday this week. Atlanta and Married to Medicine back-to-back on Thursday. We'll talk about the Married to Medicine season finale and the latest episode of Atlanta, which was hilarious. So look forward to that on Thursday. And then tomorrow we have Vanderpump Rules.
Yes. So we will see you for that, everybody.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. We really appreciate the love and support you guys show us. If you have a minute, go to iTunes and leave a review. And if you don't want to do that, maybe next time you're talking to your friends about Bravo, you mention the podcast. Spreading the word really helps us grow, and it means the world to us. Also, check us out on Instagram and at Twitter. On Instagram, we're at WatchWhatCrappins. On Twitter, we're at WhatCrappins. You can also check out me and Ronnie on both platforms. Ronnie is at Ronnie Karam on both Instagram and Twitter, and I'm at BsideBlog on Instagram and Twitter. Really, thank you guys so much. We really mean it. We appreciate the support. And even if you do none of those things, we're just happy you're listening. Thanks.